Mastery and coaching from five perspectives: an educator, an ethicist, an administrator, a researcher, and a coach. Panel discussion at the 2016 National Coaching Conference in Seattle, Washington. Serving in the role as the administrator on the panel, Erin O'Connell.
Three similarities that when I really think about the folks that corner the market and really know their trade, they all have three similarities. The first one is they're lifetime learners. The second one is they have the ability to be very self-aware. And the third one is they have a commitment to their core values, yet they know that they need to be adaptable at times. Lifetime learners, be a student always. You know, I think that sometimes along the way coaches find some good success and they forget that maybe there might be more to learn or a different way to coach somebody. So whether it's, you know, with the web now, we have so much on YouTube, we have so much reading, whether it's going to practices, it's not just watching a practice and how it's run, but it's, you know, perhaps sitting in on a team meeting and seeing how that team dynamic goes. Because as we all know, this emotional IQ is really important in dealing with people, especially as student athletes are moving along. Number two, self-awareness. Be yourself, be authentic. In order to be the best that you can be, you can't be somebody else. You may collect tidbits over time, but that certainly just needs to be a recipe for how your personality is going to work with people. And the last one, commitment to core values. In order to be able to survive and thrive, these have to be non-negotiables. You have to know them, you have to think about what they are, and every day you have to live by them. Within that scope, though, you have to be able to be adaptable. Because the way a student or an athlete may have been coached, you know, 10 years, 20 years, even just 5 years ago, is going to be different. And you have to be able to commit to your core values, to stay within the framework, but evolve as time goes on, or else it's going to be real challenging. Thanks. I have pinpointed three areas that I think that you need to do in order to have professional and personal growth. Mentors. Everybody knows, you hear all the time, you need a mentor, you need somebody to take you under their wing. I think that it's possible to have one person that can do it all for you and help you learn along the way, but I think it's really important actually to have something called a personal board of directors, because I think along the way in our journeys, we meet a lot of people that can serve different purposes and teach us things at different times. And certainly, if your personal life, family life at home isn't going real well, sometimes that can impact what's going on with you, with your coaching, and in your just overall job performance. And both of those areas really need care and feeding. So, you know, I think a handful of mentors is a good approach to the different stresses, perhaps, that we may have today that we didn't have 20, 30 years ago. There wasn't a social media, right? Like, now everybody finds something out right away. I think it's great to have a slate of people that you can go to for various things at various times. Peer networks. While it might be hard to, you know, trade secrets with your rivals and whatnot, it's really helpful to, I think, be able to visit with people of different levels. Certainly, we have our elite coaches, our Olympic coaches, professional coaches. They have had quite a different journey than most coaches out there. But it's interesting to see what goes on there. It's certainly at a different resource level than most coaches are operating at. But you can pick up tips along the way. I think it's important to visit and be friends with coaches that perhaps may be in a program that isn't as well resourced as yours, because it's a great reminder of how to be fiscally responsible and use your resources well. Because I think, you know, from time to time we can all get into just status quo doing our own business, and it's hard sometimes to see that perhaps you could be doing something a little bit better, a little more frugally. And the third piece is, who do you surround yourself with? And this goes for head coaches, assistant coaches. Head coaches, you know, likely are going to have more experience than their assistants, but they may not have, they may be missing a capability or a certain aptitude that an assistant might have. And so I think it's my favorite question to ask when hiring coaches. The University of Washington just stole a head coach from Stanford, the women's rowing program, last week, and I was heavily involved in that. And my favorite question, one that I asked her, was, who are you going to bring? Who's your staff going to be? How are you going to surround yourself with things that will help you get better? And assistant coaches. Head coaches give you a lot of stuff to work from, learn from. But if you find yourself lacking in an area of education, don't be afraid to seek it out. And know when you have maxed out your role. It's really important to know your role. And everybody kind of needs to fly the nest at some point, and it's important, go back to self-awareness, to be self-aware of maybe when it's time to take another position somewhere, look outside the box. And those can be hard and challenging times, but that's what your personal board of directors is there to help you through. Three areas again. Feedback from athletes. That may sound like a no-brainer, but at any level, whether it's youth sports, high school, college, national team, somebody above you is going to collect it. And it's best to have a finger on the pulse throughout the year, whether it means, you know, weekly meetings with whoever is a team leader type, or if it's high school, college, maybe it's a kind of a captain's council or representative from each grade level. Regular meetings with your assistants. Now, while that seems also like a no-brainer, it's what happens behind that door that's really important. It really needs to be a safe space for honest feedback. I had a conversation with a coach at Duke University a couple weeks ago, and she said they start their staff meetings every time by saying, no egos, leaving the egos at the door. And that, she said, has really helped them to be able to sit down and have honest dialogue between head coach, assistant coaches, athletic trainer, and in turn has been able to make their team faster and better. Self-critiques. I think it's really good at the start of the season to sit down and make some goals for yourself. Certainly your team has goals, but as a coach, I think it's important that you really on an annual basis identify what your goals are. And then it's busy at the end of the season, but the most important piece is the end of the season, when you get to sit down and actually look at what did you accomplish, what did you not accomplish, and being able to go back and look at the year before and the year before that, you can start to see patterns in yourself.